and there'll be a lot of crying. I sometimes wonder whether some of the crying that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, where it says, and God will wipe every tear from you, there will be no more tears. I sometimes wonder, I don't think it's just that, because sometimes we cry because we are touched by the presence of God. But I sometimes wonder whether some of those tears may come because we did not do better for the Lord. Or we didn't really live our life for the Lord. And we have a brief moment of regret and repentance. And then God, being who He is, because we are saved by His grace and not by our works. His salvation is by grace, reward is by works. And He says, never mind, wipes off the tears, puts His hand on our shoulder, invites us into His glory, and says, we can start again over here. I wonder whether some of those tears, they are present when the new heaven and new earth is there, are because of things like that, where we realize we didn't do it from the heart. The same action can be done for two different reasons. For example, if this is a church, and normally in a church you need a lot of volunteers because you need a lot of help, and then you came and you vacuumed the place, and then you really did it because you really love the Lord and you were looking for some way to serve the Lord, and you just did it. Or another person can come and say, I wonder how I can get noticed by the leadership so that they recognize me and one day appoint me as chief deacon. And so you also do the same thing, the same action but two different hearts, produce two different results, bring two different compensations in heaven. Because the one person who did it for the Lord just did it and just gave glory to God for the opportunity to serve Him. Another person who did it not really sincerely for the Lord, and after doing it, say, hey, Pastor, do you know I did that? Pastor says, did you? Say, yes, I did. And then you did it. And the next time, say, do you notice I did it? No, I didn't notice. You get hurt. Why you didn't notice me? Don't appreciate what I do. Motives, motives, motives. Now I believe people need to be appreciated, and when ministries are recognized and appreciated, they have opportunity to grow and blossom. There's a place for that. Paul did it. But we are dealing with the other extreme. And so it has to be from our heart in order to get rewards from God. Why we do certain things? Why are we doing the things we do? Whether they be quote-unquote church things, not just secular things. And believe me, a lot of people who come into the ministry and they begin to work closely with some ministries, and because we deal with a lot of Bible students that come into the ministry, and some of them go into full-time after that, some of them go into pastoring, and I speak to a lot of them, and half of them within 2 years get disappointed because they found that the ministry was not what they think it was from the outside. And I have been working closely with hundreds of different pastors, associated, and been friends with them. And in the early days, many years back, we started a fellowship of charismatic ministers. It's still on. Once in a while, we activate it here and there to sort of help small churches share speakers and all that. And many times if a church grows very big, they become self-dependent and they don't care, couldn't care less attitude to the others. So it's not right. And so we wanted some sort of fellowship where all the churches, no matter what their size, could help one another. exchange information, share speakers, together bring a speaker in, pay the expenses, which they could not do alone. And we actively started off for 1 or 2 years. Then I realized, some of them are in it to promote themselves. And I realized, if everybody's heart is not in it to promote the Lord, we are going to be in trouble down the line. And then I realized that there's a lot of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. Some preach Christ out of envy or jealousy. Some preach Christ out of gain. Some people really do it just for the money, trying to cheat people and leave off the sympathies of others. And some people did it because they got no other job to do. Which surprises me. Because many times, when you talk to many parents and all that, and when they talk about their children serving the Lord, they always say, you know, hey, you couldn't get through your O-level. You couldn't get any university entrance. You couldn't get any technical college. You couldn't get anywhere. Try Bible college. They always accept you. Right? Not always though. And we leave it to the last, and it looks like we want to send all the worst lots to Bible school. And we expect them to graduate as saints. So we send the saints to the worldly colleges, and we send the devilish ones to the Bible colleges. And expect them to grow out and become saintly ministers and minister to saintly congregations. That's not right. I believe that if God has a call on any person, whatever it is, give God the best. I mean, God needs the best brains to serve Him. Paul was a top brain in his time. He was one of the top thinkers of his days. And we need to go give God the best. And we have one Indian adopted daughter, and she's quite big, about 18 this year. And I knew her heart, and we never sort of pressed her to do what we want. I mean, we just want her to seek the Lord and do what she feels God wants her. So she wanted to do accountancy, she wanted to do this. No problem, just go ahead. We'll just back you as long as you love the Lord, do what God wants you to do. So when we went on a trip recently and came back, she said the Lord spoke to her and called her. And we were surprised, because I know her. to say that means a lot. I know she loves, she got lots of friends outside, she got all school friends, they're going on to college and everything. And so I said, well, if it's the Lord, no problem. Of course, I would love her to serve the Lord, but, you know, she has to make a decision. And we have 4 or 5 counselors come to her, unofficial and unsolicited ones. 2 of the top elders said to her privately, she told me this privately, they said, why, you can study, you're good at your studies, you know, go to finish university first, then serve the Lord, if the Lord still wants you. She came with tears in her eyes and said, why do people only want me to serve the Lord if I cannot do well in my studies? She cried. She said, why is it that when I'm good at my studies, that they want me to continue and not serve the Lord? So what do I do with this? So we advise her, pray with her, and in the end, now she's in the ministry, she's in Bible college, and she's trained, being trained. And so in the end, they accepted her, more or less like reluctantly, but in the end, they see, you know, that God is calling her, and so, you know, we wouldn't want to stand away, we supported behind her. And finally, the rest flow along. And then some of her friends come to her, knowing she's playful, and joyful, kind of easygoing character. Say, huh? You? In ministry? You know, she get all those things. But she stick to her decision and she's serving the Lord now. and a lot of nice developments that I see some changes in her life. But here's where we realize that serving the Lord and loving the Lord has to be from our heart. We have to really put Him first and not put Him second or third or fourth. And only God knows what is in our heart. Whether we really love Him for who He is, or we do something just because there's nothing better to do. We serve a God of convenience and not serve the Almighty God. We need to examine our heart. Be like David. When he was offered the field to sacrifice to the Lord by the owner of the field, David said, "I will not offer to the Lord something that doesn't cost me anything." He says, "I'll pay for that field." That was the type of heart he had. He knew that he wanted to be from Him, really from his heart. He doesn't just want to make it a convenience to serve God at His convenience, but to serve God at a sacrifice. That's number one. Our rewards are based on our heart. Number two, they are also based on our works, what we do. In verse 10, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you." Chapter 2, verse 10. "Behave ourselves among you who believe." Paul talks about his behavior, his outward performance. The heart is important, but the outward works are as important. For example, Kenneth E. Hagin, in his book, I Believe in Visions, he was called by God to be to two offices, a prophet teacher. And he had 8 visions of Jesus in that book. And among the later visions that he had, one day he fell from the pulpit and sort of broke his shoulder, and he was hospitalized. While he was in hospital, the Lord came and appeared to him and said, "For the past 2 years you were living in my permissive will." His heart was right, he loved the Lord, but he was doing the wrong thing. So our heart being right is one thing, but doing the right thing is important. And it doesn't mean that if your heart is full of love, look, a lot of people have zeal who really love the Lord, but they're in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. And they hurt a lot of people when you're in the wrong place. You put a square peg in a round hole, it hurts everything around. Why? Because you'll be trying to turn that round hole into a square hole so it can fit. But it won't. It's important for us to know that our works are important. And so in this story, the Lord says, "For 2 years," he told Hagin, "you've been in my permissive will." Hagin said, Where have I? You know, he hasn't fallen into sin. He hasn't gone into a filthy lucre in finances, etc. And the Lord says, "I call you to be prophet teacher." And there are many times when your teaching and the prophetic mantle fall on you, and I give you a word to give to some people, you refuse. And he said, "Yes, that's true, Lord. I would rather be teaching the word, because that ministry is not well accepted." And he didn't like to declare the word that God gave. And the Lord says, "I've been waiting for you. And because you put that second instead of first, you have been in disobedience." See, he was still doing God's work. He was still doing what the area that we classify as Christian things. But he was doing the wrong thing. He didn't put first things first. His heart, he still loved the Lord. He still loved the Lord. But he was in the wrong place. And that will affect our rewards. Let's notice here in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we'll look at Second Corinthians, that's right. I'm looking at chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says here, in verse 9 and 10, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done.